Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is here. All of the 49ers have reported. It is go time for the next, whether that be 5 months, 6 months, six and a half, you know, we'll see how much longer we got 49ers football. But we have 49ers football. I'm so pumped. And with me, as always, on Tuesday is none other than the great Wayne Breezy. How we doing, Wayne?
Hey, yo, I'm good, man. Look, 49ers football is here. Despite the NFI and the pup, we're good. We're back. The Niners are back. I can't wait to see these guys kick off practice on tomorrow, but they're reporting today. That's what's most important. I'm expecting everybody to be in the building. Those are my expectations. Old, new school, need to learn more. Everybody going to be in the building. I'm happy, excited. We get to hear from John. We get to hear from Kyle Shanahan today. So that's going to be interesting, too. But I'm excited, bro.
I am, too. And I do feel like there's a few precedents that have been set by the 49ers. And number one is, like, look, if you're in a contract dispute, you show up. Like, if you don't show up, it goes bad. The Ayuk and a couple other situations. But, like, even, like, the Debo, whether that's Nick Bosa, like show up. Like, at least be here, and then we'll figure that out. And, you know, we're talking about Juwan Jennings right here, obviously. Like, and I do think that he will show up. Will he practice? Is it going to be the hold in? You know, what that looks like? As long as he's there, that is a little bit of a relief. Are you with me there, or are you kind of like, no, he needs to play?
He needs to practice. I mean, look, if Juwan Jennings shows up, look, it's contract. It's contract stuff. So at some point, I mean, if you've been following this regime of the 49ers and been locked in with this regime, you will know this is just how it goes. Like, at some point, you're just going to have to shut up and accept it. You know, you don't have to like it. It's just the way things go. And when players are playing on the last year of their deals and they're looking for more money and guarantees, it's not just necessarily the money. I think it's more about the guarantee. You're talking about a wide receiver that almost clips the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in his career, but does all the intangibles on the football field. And I'm not trying to make his case, but when you outplay a contract, it's okay to go ask for a raise. I mean, I think every human being in the world does that at their job. Oh, man, I've outworked. I've done everything exceedingly past what I was supposed to do, expectations. You know, I think I'll go ask for, you know what I'm saying, a $3,500 million raise. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the worst thing they could do is say no, you know. So I think if he shows up, that's great because I just want him to be there. He doesn't have to practice because if he does – I mean, technically, he needs to practice because I need him to be on the same page with Brock, but I understand if he held in. I think that's the word for it. Like,
you're right. And it's not just the 49ers thing. Like, you got Kyren Williams with the Rams. You've got, you know, you talk about Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the other people. Like, it's just Niners where they're doing the worst or doing the most because players are demanding the team to tread the tires on the contract extension. I mean, players got to do what players got to do. No one's fighting for the players to get more money. The team doesn't want to do this, but they know they have to do it. You know what I mean? And so, therefore, you get the drama. But we're not the only team going through drama. But for some reason, Niners drama supersedes all other dramas.
Always. Always. Why not, right? I mean, at least we're not the Bengals. Good gosh.
Good God. They can't even sign their first round pick because they cheat. Like, at the end of the day, we're not
There's only two draft picks not signed currently. Shamar Stewart and then Quinshon Judkins, who's got the legal
situation. He got arrested,
Yeah, and so, like, and that's the big hang-up. Like, I don't want to say I feel bad, but, like, the whole Shamar Stewart thing, if you've been following that, is they want a clause that if you get in trouble legally, you lose everything. And Quinshon Judkins hasn't got his deal signed yet, and he's in trouble legally. And it's like, this is just the new NFL and the negotiations, and the NFLPA can't even really help because they fired their guys. And it's the Wild West out there in this contract situation. But from a 49ers standpoint, clean, baby.
Clean.
Rookies are in. Rookies all are signed. Rookies are excited. And
all I'm of just, them. Ugh.
And the Juwan Jennings thing is a mess, and we'll still have to kind of see how that goes. Expect a lot of quotes from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and their presser today. Uh-oh.
Let's go.
Oh, we got a whistle. Ah,
the whistle.
Hit some. Go make me hit some. So right after this show, we're going to end this show just a little bit early. So if you're listening to this audio-wise or however you're consuming this content, we are recording before the presser. So I wanted to put on my little fortune teller, whatever, and I wanted to predict just a couple things that you're going to hear in this John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan press conference. Are you ready? Here we go. Whenever asked about all the players that are injured that Kyle Shanahan said would be ready to go for training camp, here's what he's going to say. Quote, "A lot of these guys are really ready to go, and if we had a game today, they would go. We're just being extra cautious." End quote. What's the likelihood that is going to be a Kyle Shanahan saying today?
100%. I would be specific in my question. Kyle, you said Ricky Pearsall was good to go at training camp. You know what I'm saying? At the end of OTAs, you sat him out for OTAs with the hamstring injury, and you said he was good. Why did you put him on the PUP? Why is he on the PUP? That would be my question. I don't know how else to ask it, but that I would start it off with what you said and then hit him with the question and see how he responds. Got to find a way to put some narcissism in your approach when you're talking to the narcissist. It's the only way to get to him.
And that. So are we going to get salty Kyle early? Usually we don't
absolutely.
Get salty. Yeah. Usually we don't get salted.
They're together, right? So it's going to start off with some John. John's going to try to set the tone. You know what
Straight
I mean?
Straight politician word salad. Don't say anything.
Don't say much. Deflect. I think that's the key. And then Kyle, somebody's going to ring a bell. Where's my bell? Somebody's going to ring that one little bell where Kyle's going to have to come out and get defensive real quick.
Oh, man. I hope. I like
what
it
I really when, said was the yeah. motherfucker was going to get put on the pup list. You just wasn't hearing me correctly. That's the response I'm hoping I get.
I love it, man. That's if Wayne was the head coach, you'd be getting a lot of those mother effers.
Oh, man. You know what it is? It's my inner Samuel Jackson. You know what I'm
there
saying?
There we go.
Samuel L. Jackson. I just don't, there's no other word to say. I grew up watching him, and it's M this and that. Like, that's just what it is.
He's the best, man. My favorite press conference are Mike Tomlin, obviously.
Oh,
We do not care.
No.
We do not care.
He's stone cold, too, bro.
He don't care. He's got the most job security ever, and he just shows up and just whatever. But Kyle does, too. Like, I know a lot of people, don't want to hear that after last season. I understand that. But, Kyle Shanahan has a lot of job security with the 49ers because, again, the way all of his coordinators, play callers, assistant coaches, whatever. Dude, if Kyle Shanahan was somehow terminated, and I don't even think the seat's hot. If you do another full season like you did this year, then the seat is hot. Seat's not hot right now at all. But if you do another one of those this year, then the seat's hot. But if you go to the NFC Championship, as he does, he either goes to the NFC Championship or he misses the playoffs. But let's just say, hypothetically, Kyle goes to the NFC Championship again this year and doesn't win the Super Bowl, then falls out of the playoffs next year, seat's still not hot.
I agree.
It's not going to be hot.
If the 49ers are healthy, they're going to the playoffs. And if the 49ers are healthy, they're going to go far in the playoffs. And then it comes down to the Super Bowl when they make it. I like to speak stuff into existence. And we're just going to have to see. If we don't play the Chiefs, we win the Super Bowl. If we play the Chiefs,
Man, did you see the Chiefs? Josh Simmons is ready to go day one.
I told cats not to worry about that
torn
injury,
patella tendon, and now that dude didn't even miss one practice. He's starting left tackle day one. Jalen Moore starting right tackle for him.
I specifically said do not worry about that injury.
That's crazy, though.
It's not because I said it was all a gimmick by his camp. They were pulling the stunt. He got drafted. Congratulations to him. The Niners just weren't in on drafting offensive linemen. They were looking to build the defense. Hopefully next year, it's all offensive linemen. I wouldn't be surprised if we took like 3 offensive linemen next year. That's a lot, though, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Man, I would be so happy. I haven't drafted a tackle or a center in 3 consecutive drafts. The only team in the NFL. Drives me crazy. Right. Drives me crazy. But the chat is pumping. You guys are killing it. What's up, Ben? I smell football. Smells like victory. Again, for 5 months, guys, we have 49ers practice. We have 49ers games. We have 49ers press conference. We have 49ers injury reports. We have 49ers film. I can't wait for film. You know, yes. That's what I'm excited for. I need new all 22 to break down on the Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. I want to see Wayne's explosive play breakdowns on his Patreon. We need new plays. And we're close, man. We are close.
The funny thing is, I don't expect new plays called. I expect better execution this year. I know a lot of people feel like the Deebo Samuel stuff is going to be out. I disagree 1,000%. I think the Deebo Samuel packages will still be in there, and it will be shared with different types of players. You know, if you get a healthy Pearsall, you get some Isaac Arendo in there, some Jacob Cowing. They can all probably run those plays. At least you're updating or upgrading those plays with speed. You know what I'm saying? Everything's just going to come down to execution this year, and I think that's the one thing that I'm looking forward to. If you want to know what I want from the offensive side of football, it's execution. And from the defensive side of football, it's freaking 11 men to the daggone football. Like, and rapping and tackling. The fundamentals. I'm super fundamentally sound on this upcoming season. We get back to that, it's going to be a great season.
Yeah, I'm pumped about it. And people are already arguing, what's our record going to be and all that stuff. Let's focus a little bit more on the day-to-day. We'll get to there for sure. Now, George Odom, just since the last time we talked, George Odom is cut. Injury designee. It was an NFI. Yes. He gets cut. Man, I hope he gets better. Saved a little bit of money. So now the 49ers have an open roster spot. Mm-hmm. They go out and bring in a lot of wide receivers, none of the wide receivers that the fans kind of were hoping would be brought in. Here's the list of names. Equanimous St. Brown, Quintez Cephas, Grant DuBose, Ramel Keaton, Stanley Morgan, Brandon Powell. All wide receivers, most of those outside wide receivers. Now, Wayne, you said you like one more than the other. Can you talk than the others? Talk to us about the guy you like.
I like Brandon Powell. I think Brandon Powell, I talked about him yesterday. On the Wayne Breezy show, I was like, I said it would be, first of all, I wanted to go after the top 4 guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the Keenan Allen, because I think they bring in a veteran, but the Keenan Allens, the Gabe Davises, like those guys, but those guys are going to cost you a little premium. And I don't know if the Niners want to spend money. So then I suggested that, or they can go after, you know, the Brandon Powell. But that was like, we kind of already have him with a Jacob Cowing.
Yeah. Brandon Powell, 5'8", 180, from Florida. Another Florida wide receiver.
But
all Florida guys.
The difference between Cowing and Powell is Powell has proven to be an NFL starting caliber wide receiver. And if you guys don't remember him, just go back and watch him, his Ram days, where he was the little guy running out of the backfield on the San Francisco 49ers. We were like, who is this guy? Who is this M? Like, that's what we were saying. It was him. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking for a guy. He could be a return guy. He has the quickness in him. He has speed and quickness, and he's short and tiny. He could be a little gadget guy. But these guys are just working out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I like Quintez Cephas the most, but I don't like these names so much. Like, these are bargain bin, back of the roster guys that you're trying to fill a hole with. Man, you're going to need more wide receivers. And this talk to me about Ricky Pearsall. This does not give me a lot of hope with Ricky Pearsall coming off the pup. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Wade, talk me off the ledge.
He's coming off. He's coming off the pup. He's going to come off the pup. I think right now it's super precautious. This is your first round draft pick. And it's like, all right, put it like this. You ever had a fresh pair of J's,
ooh,
brand new in the box? You got them. You didn't have to pay extra for them. You got them when the day they released, but you needed to wait to the right moment to rock them joints. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what they're doing with Ricky Pearsall. You know, he got a little taste last year. Recovery was great. We saw some upside. The ceiling looks high. The question is, we need him to be physically ready and inept to play football for the San Francisco 49ers. I think the mental is there. He has the fundamentals. He has great hands, runs pretty decent routes. Still struggles to get open and press coverage, but it is what it is. He has to get a little bit stronger. My thing is, it sucks to have him not practice with Brock. My issue is him not practicing with Brock. But if he's going to be that guy that's going to just run the quick drag routes and the quick routes, you know, across the football field, you know, get open, I think Brock and him could be in lock and, you know, he'll be good. I think he comes off the pup first. I think he's the first player off the pup, actually.
Ooh, that was one of my questions, is who's the first player off?
Might be him.
Everybody wants it to be Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. So I can see again, it being player,
because he's a need, like, you know what I mean? Like, opposed to some of the other players, if you want to go over that list, like, you know, you look at the Curtis Robinson, like these, some of those guys, you know, I didn't even expect, what you call it, to go on the PUP, the defensive end.
Eater Gross Motto.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
That was a shock. And you already have Kyle Shanahan said, oh, well, you know, Ricky Pearsall could have practiced minicamp. We're just being extra cautious. Well, then 2 months later, he's still on it. Did he re-aggravate it? We don't know. Hopefully, don't he finds some of that out.
Yeah. Maybe that's how John Lynch starts off the presser. So that way, that's how you nullify some of the questions that are going to be asked a little bit later. Because that's what I guarantee you, all the beat writers are going to be like, well, Kyle, you said. So I think John's going to set it up. It's like, you know, we had to place Ricky on the pup because he re-aggravated the hammy. Which sucks because them hamstring injuries linger.
Missed almost all of last year's training camp. He had shoulder and two hamstring issues. Like, he just hasn't practiced with the team very much this year. Really, in his entire time since drafted.
just read some of these comments.
I know. The comments going wild. Shout out to 49ers Throwback. Appreciate the super chat. It's the player, not the Bengals. I disagree there. But he, 49ers Throwback, who is a stud, one of my favorite people on here. So glad the 49ers didn't draft Shamar Stewart. I'm with you 100% there. This team got no time for that nonsense. Shout out to Alfred Collins. You do have two diametrically opposed. Like, Alfred Collins went against the grain, was the first one to go get his deal done of those second round picks. No second round pick was signed for over 2 months before Alfred Collins. And then everybody kind of followed his lead. Shamar Stewart's the exact opposite of that. Now, there are a few teams that did put that qualifier on contracts that Shamar Stewart is refusing to sign. I don't necessarily blame them, but, man, the Bengals, look at Trey Hendrickson. Look at, like, the Bengals are the worst. And, you know, I did not want Shamar Stewart in the first round. I think he was, like, my 60th graded player. But I don't know. I think this is a both end. I think Shamar and the Bengals kind of deserve each other. Am I crazy in saying that, Wayne? Is that too far?
Nah,
Call me out.
I don't think you're crazy in saying it, but, you know, I don't think this is on Shamar Stewart. I just think there's a clause that he's not willing to sign. I mean, no one shitted on Nick Bosa for waiting 1 week to sign his freaking rookie deal. There was clauses in these contracts that players don't want to sign. Like, their agents are telling them nah or whatever like that because they're looking out for the best interest. So, you know, the Bengals will probably cave in at some point, and they just got to come to a common ground or something like that. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not comparing him to Nick Bosa. I'm just saying, as a 49er fan, Bosa didn't sign right away. I don't know if y'all remember that, but it took a minute for him to sign his rookie deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And then the extension took a while.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not. If that's a whole nother stratosphere category. Yeah.
It's both.
Yeah.
Those bosses, they know about that money.
It's not even. They just understand the language. that's being thrown at them. Like, you know what I mean? I think the issue is a lot of people didn't expect Shamar Stewart to understand the language. And I don't mean people. I mean the Bengals. The Bengals wasn't expecting him to be as bright as he is and understand the language that they were demanding in the contract. And his was like, oh, no, nah. So I think it's all on the Bengals, honestly.
I like that. I like that. Now, a lot of players or a lot of fans are like, man, go, let's trade. Let's sign this big name, all that kind of stuff. Again, this is another prediction. This is a John Lynch prediction. Quote, we like the guys we have in the building, end quote. Again, this is kind of, you got the pull string doll. You know what I'm talking about? The John Lynch. We like the guys we have in the building. We like what we've assembled. We really like what we put together. So, like, any type of questions about adding, pump the brakes. You got $40 million cap space. They can add the second most in the NFL. They are saving them dollars.
Yeah.
And they are not going to do splashes at this point at all. Agree or disagree, Wayne?
Yeah. John Lynch, I just can't wait to hear from him. Because I think for the first time, I feel like our general manager is excited. You know what I mean? Like, he's excited. I think losing was probably like the best thing that just happened to the whole organization. You know, having that losing season, dealing with what they needed to do. Then they had to, they got rid of, I don't want to say players were dead weight, but they didn't bring a lot of players back that were kind of like prone to injury. And now they got a revived defense, which I feel like John Lynch is super excited about. And I think he just trusts and puts all the faith in Kyle Shanahan and his offense, because we know, if our offense is healthy, they execute and they play really well. Yeah, can we upgrade some positions? For sure. But we're going to get that quote from John Lynch for sure. They love the players that they have in the building, but that does not mean that they're not fielding calls. That's the next quote I'm going to get. Yeah, we're fielding calls. Like, you know what I'm saying? But we're happy with the players that we have in the building.
Yeah, and I think that's going to get brought up whenever the very first Juwan Jennings question gets asked. And so that's where that's going to come from. So second part of this show, which I'm excited to get to, the two biggest training camp battles out there. And man, the positional training camp battles, one of them came about because of an injury, and another one got Spicer because a player we thought was going to be injured is not injured. So that's where we're going to get to next and look at Uncle Salty. Who's coming to Seattle? You going to any 49ers game this year? Got to come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Now, look at this. Andrew, good morning, guys. Got my tickets for week one last night. My middle school son's first game. That is why we do what we do. And we do have a little bit of an announcement. We have finalized a deal to get Frank Gore to come out to our very first game in Seattle. Meet the legend, the future Hall of Famer. He's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame this year. So come meet him. He's going to be out there Saturday. Tickets are up. TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush. He's doing autographs and all that kind of fun stuff. So come out, party with us and the legend Frank Gore in Seattle. Ooh, so pumped. I'm so pumped.
Good dude.
Now, let's go. Now, there are two major training camp battles, positional battles that I want to talk about. The first one, little bit of a shocker. I thought Jair Brown was going to be on the PUP. I was not expecting him back early. He cleared. He is ready to practice. Now, Malik Mustafa is out. So, Wayne, walk us through the safety position, because I think that there's a lot of bodies, even with George Odom out. Now you're bringing back, you know, Jair Brown. But, man, you've got Pinnick. You've got Marquis Siegel, who's also healthy. You've got Jair Brown and Richie Grant. That's four guys that could potentially start. Walk us through this safety position and kind of how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pencil in the guys that are most familiar with the system. And I say that because when you think of Pinnock, he's familiar with Saleh, right? And so that's a good, you know, it's going to be a camp battle. It's going to be a battle at the safety, at the safety position for both of them. I don't think anybody is clear cut the starters, and it's really going to come out to may the best man win. And so Jair Brown, I'm glad that he's healthy. I really loved what I saw from Jair Brown his rookie year. I don't know what type of textbook he picked up that sophomore year, but this being his third year, I really hope that you can kind of wash away what you did your sophomore year in the NFL and, you know, bounce back and get back on being that playmaker that he was. He ran better angles. He made better decisions. I just felt like there was too much thinking going on in his sophomore year because I just don't think the coach knew what he was doing. So how can you expect the player to know what he's doing if the coach doesn't know what he's doing? It's just kind of weird. So with Saleh being there and the new DB's coach, secondary, I just feel like Jair Brown is definitely going to be, you know, a bright spot. I mean, he has all the intangibles. He has the size. He plays with good speed. And he should understand now what is being asked of him. He's no longer a young player. He's now considered a veteran. And so the 49ers at that position, minus Siegel, have a bunch of young veterans in the building to play safety. So it's going to be interesting to see. I love Siegel. He's one of my favorite draft picks. But it's going to be really hard for him. He's really got to do something to stand out, and somebody's got to be really bad for him to move up that depth chart so early. But that's why I think they went young vets opposed to older vets, to where they feel like each guy got to come out and earn the spot.
Yeah, and man, what do you think the impact is with Nick Sorensen? You know, he's gone. You had Brown pre-Sorensen and post.
Yeah.
Or during. Like, we haven't seen post-Sorensen.
Correct. So
can he get back to that?
I mean, I feel like it always starts with the teacher. And the teacher, if he can get through to the students, we've seen Saleh get through two guys. I mean, we've seen Saleh make Jaquiski Tartt good. And I think Jair Brown is better than Jaquiski Tartt.
I
really think he has a higher ceiling than Jaquiski Tartt. And if I saw that, I definitely believe that Saleh can get Jair Brown back on the up and up.
I'm hoping that happens. Am I crazy at thinking that Penix penciled in as a starter week one? Like, he's already kind of won that job till Malik comes back. Maybe even after Malik comes back.
So
that
who are the starting safeties then?
So I think... Eventually, I think they want it to be Malik and Marquise Siegel.
Okay, who are the starting safeties?
I think Jason Pinnock.
Okay.
I'm putting that one in pin. And I think the other battle is between Jair Brown and Richie Grant. I think Richie Grant probably has a little bit of a leg up.
I disagree. I think Jair Brown has had a way better career than Richie Grant.
I think last year was one of the worst players in the NFL, Jair Brown.
That's fine, but his rookie year, he wasn't. And Grant has never been great. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, so, like, okay, Richie Grant's not great. And remember, he lost his job last year because they
signed. Right. So how do you take a not great person to a person that had one great season and a bad season and put that person over the person that had the great season? How do you put non-great over great? I feel like great supersedes non-great. So it's like having 100
right.
And having an F. Let's just say an F was a 50, and you divide it by 2, and his average is a 75, right? Like, that's still pretty damn good. I think Jair Brown is better than Richie Grant and Pinnock.
Oh, wow. That's okay. That's a lot. So here's what I would say.
Because, again, tell me when Pinnock was great.
He was a very short area last season after changing positions.
Never been great.
Small window. I think he was pretty damn good.
Nah, he didn't have a better season than what Jair Brown had his rookie year.
That's true. That is
so
true.
So you can't fault Jair Brown for having one bad season.
Oh, I do big time.
He had a bad. You can't.
It was awful.
It was awful.
Richie Grant has never had a bad year.
Because he ain't played. He ain't never started.
He's got 33 starts. He's got more starts than Jair Brown.
Because he's been in the league longer. My point is, he's not as great as Jahir Brown. He's not. He hasn't reached that
mountain.
He was a
second round pick. He was drafted higher. He's 40th overall guy.
Okay. Okay. But a third round pick. But a third round pick had a better season than Richie Grant's career.
I do agree there. So Jahir. Okay. And so, do you want consistency or do you want boom bust? Like. And so that's kind of, and again, a lot of this is because recency bias.
But they all are bad. Like Jahir Brown had a bad season, and we could chalk it up to him, but a lot of it was coaching. So at the end of the day, our whole defense was trash. Whole defense. I don't even care about Nick Bosa, 10 sacks. It was still trash. The defense was trash. We can't sit there and say the defense wasn't trash and then dump on Nick Sorensen. He's a big part of why the players were bad, why the execution was poor. Now, a lot of it's on the players, but the coaching definitely helped. I really feel like Jahir Brown just had a bad season because of the transition of the new coordinator. I really do.
And so, like, I think the 49ers want it to be Malik Mustafa and Marquis Siegel eventually. Like, I think that's what they want. But you are correct. Like, you've got guys who have played good and bad football, but you do have to say, like, Jahir Brown's best is better than what Pinnick or Richie Grant has ever
put. They have the consistency, and Jahir Brown has the boom and bust. Gotcha.
Right? I'm a Tony Gwynn guy. Like,
oh, yeah, man. You base hits, man. That's it.
I don't need home runs.
That keeps your batting average up.
Dude, that was my whole philosophy. Like, dating
he was
girls
such a
like
nice guy, too, man. You ever?
Oh, I love him. Yeah. I love him. I love him, love him, love him. And he was like, I just found out he was like, what's it called? An amazing basketball player. He was like
I didn't
an
know
all-state
that.
Point guard player, too.
I did so not
like,
know that. I did
I need
not
to
know
brush
that.
Up
him
on my
him and Kirby Puckett
Ooh,
were some
Kirby.
Of my favorite baseball Ooh, players, Kirby. Man. Yeah. I know I'm old. People are like, who?
Do I love those old twin pinstripes?
The old twin pinstripes were some of the best uniforms. Speaking of uniforms,
oh,
I'm hoping the Niners get this right. I don't have any breaking news, but I'm hoping.
What was that about? They teased it a month, 6 weeks ago, and then nothing.
Bro, it's
even
like,
George Kittle posted something on social media. Where's those throwbacks at? Like, what's
like
happening
the,
there?
I feel like the Niners have the same marketing team as Stranger Things, because I swear to goodness Stranger Things was supposed to come out in July, and somehow it got pushed back. So what they did was they released the trailer in July and pushed the season back to next to damn near fall. Now, that's not what it was supposed to be. I feel like the Niners have the same marketing tactic tool or whatever. It's definitely going to be suspense, and I'm just ready for the fans to be like, what the like, what was this? We waited for this? The anticipation is real.
I have two group chats that I'm a part of that is just uniform talk.
I was a part of that because I was clowning it.
Like we, it's a lot of it's Texas high school football.
Gotcha.
And, you know, just like, you know, this, whatever. And shout out to Big Red Faithful. Say you're from Texas without saying you're from Texas. He said, I'm ready for the NFL, but man, I'm stoked for high school ball.
Because high school ball is life in Texas.
Yeah, it he coaches down at 40. He's a good dude.
That's what's up, man.
He's got
Trent
Williams in his little profile pic there, which is pretty cool.
Right. I feel like Texas high school football supersedes high school.
I miss it, man.
There's Florida high school football, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I was shocked moving out here to California, and we played against teams like De La Salle
and
whatever else.
Definitely
like,
not the same.
I was like, dude, this is a 3A middle school stadium. Like, what is this? Is y'all's best? Like, this is it? Like, and I'm sorry,
just
I'm not
watch
like,
the movie Friday Night Lights.
Great
y'all.
Program and amazingly coached team and whatever. I'm just saying, different wavelengths. That's all. Now, shout out to Jax. I'm gonna get so much trouble. I can't believe I said what I said. Anyway. Love you, California people.
Me too.
Shout out to Jax, Super Chat. She said, shout out to Wayne and John for keeping us sane in the offseason. Football is back, baby. So question, who are you guys excited to see in training camp? Wayne, give me a player.
I'm so glad that CMC is back. I'm so glad that he looks healthy. I'm so glad he's in shape. He's been training, and he's been schooling Bijan Robinson. I am so happy that CMC is now he's a father. All that stuff is taken care of. Contract is secured for at least another year. I think CMC, I'm just happy to see CMC back. And I hope people don't start hitting that he hits the hole slow and this is that in the third. I'm just not ready for that. I'm just like, we just got to chill. Game speed is the only thing I care about when it comes to Christian McCaffrey. So I'm happy Christian McCaffrey's back.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to go with my favorite draft pick, the guy that I wanted the Niners to draft more than probably anybody else, Alfred Collins. He got some hate with the contract stuff. I'm telling you, I am so pumped about this guy. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Alfred Collins, I want to see him just destroy Jake Brendel in practice over and over and over again.
I just hope his size doesn't affect his play at this level. You know, because he did struggle at times keeping the pad level low. So I'm hoping that's not a thing, because we've seen that before. And I'm not comparing him and nowhere near comparison to Javon Kinlaw. I think this kid is brutally stronger than Javon Kinlaw, and I think he's better technique than Javon Kinlaw. But the size was the issue, and the injuries obviously were the issue with Kinlaw. And he's dealt with some little bit of nagging injuries as well, not being able to do OTAs or whatnot. I don't know if that was a contract thing or if it was the injury thing that they said. But I am excited to see what Alfred Collins, because if that big run stopping defensive tackle is out there on the football field, I just don't see James Conner having a year against the 49ers. Like that you got him to stop James Conner, in my opinion.
I like it. I want to see it. So I want to see it. So we talk safety. We've got one more position I want to talk about. That's a big one. And Niner Goat says, tailgate party in New Orleans? Where can I find the info? Oh, dude, we are partying. We rented a spot out on Bourbon Street. We're going to be at the Drinkery, which is going to be right there in the middle of Bourbon Street. We rented out two floors. I wanted the balcony. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to hang our stuff up on the balcony. It's going to be incredible. So if you're going to New Orleans, again, all the information and tickets are up right now. Just go to TickPick. The app, you can go to tickpick.com. The link is in the description of this video, or you can download the app for free. We have all of our stuff, the tailgate for New Orleans, which we're doing a seafood boil, which I'm so excited. We're going to have a seafood station there. All that's going to be going on. And again, if you're buying game tickets, if you're buying party tickets, you got to get them all at the same place. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
I knew I shouldn't have spoke up about California football. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying California football is bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's incredible. I've been a head coach in California football. I coached in Pasadena. It's awesome.
It's just different.
It's just different.
That's all you said. I got your back.
And like, I would say this, Mater Dei could probably beat anybody in the country, like, because they have recruiting and like, it's just totally different than what's like, they have a monopoly on all talent in Southern California. It's different, and a budget. Texas is just different. Mater Dei, Bosco, Oaks, Christian have all been pretty good. I totally agree. I'm sorry. As somebody who's coached in Texas and California, I'm just going to say it's different. That's all. I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm just saying it's different. I remember when I first got my head coaching job in California, and I was like, wait a second, I have to mow the grass? Like, really? I'll do it. I have to mow the grass? Like, okay, cool. All right. No worries. I'll mow the grass. Like, it's just different is all. All right. The second biggest position I wanted to talk about, Ben Bartsch. It's actually his birthday today.
Yep, happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Big BB. And he's one of my, like, favorite dudes. Like, you learn about his story and studied in South Africa, gained 70 pounds in college, smart as hell, like, just a cool dude. He was kind of, like, pigeonholed as the starting left guard, didn't get a big contract, but then he comes out on the NFI. So now the question is, at left guard, man, you've got Nick Sakel, who they're really high on. Matt Hennessy, who started games at left.
I think Spencer Burford's going to get that job, but, man.
Spencer Burford's like at left tackle only. Like, I think they're going to keep him at tackle with Andre Dillard out. Like,
I don't know.
Connor Colby, you got Drew Moss. Like,
yeah, but this could be this is Connor Colby. This is where he can win the day, right? Like, and this is where they talked about, Chris Forrester talked about Colby. This is the opportunity. We watched this happen. Spencer Burford's rookie year with the injury to He retired Feliciano, I believe that's who we had. We watched that. Now we're watching Ben Bartsch. And this is like, I don't know what the injury is necessarily to Ben Bartsch, but whatever it is, if this is the Niners' way of kind of like stashing an offensive lineman for the long run and getting the young guy in there so he can get those reps. Because football, I don't give a what anybody says. It's all about reps, repetition, repetition, repetition. And so, yeah, man, like the beginning of the season, get the young guy in there. We can stash just like they did Feliciano. We can stash him on the NFI for, 4 weeks or whatever. Bring him up. If he needs to go on the IR, you can use that spot as an IR spot until he's, you know, he's fully ready. And then they'll have that caliber guy be ready to go. But this could be a good, you know, welcoming to the NFL for Connor Colby if he wins the battle in practice. Because you talked about Zakel. He's been here for 3 years. This could be his job. We shall see. I don't know. You said, so you're talking about Spencer Burford actually being the swing tackle this year. Could be that. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, because and you've even got guys like Austin Pleasance, who's played right tackle.
He's played tackle,
so
yeah.
In the past, you remember when...
He's tackle three.
He is. You remember like a couple years ago, whenever we had injuries, and they're like, well, Jalen Moore's practiced right tackle as well, right? And they're like, no, he hasn't. He's just practiced left tackle. Like, 49ers weren't even using like a swing tackle. Like, they do a left and a right side. Right.
Yeah.
It's because of Trent Williams, which is a wonderful problem to have. He didn't practice on Wednesdays
they
all year.
They had a swing offensive lineman, though. Like, they would have somebody that can kind of play multiple positions. But you're right. At the past three seasons, I think they back up the left tackle with the left tackle and the right tackle with the right tackle. So they keep two tackles.
Yeah. And their interior guy, whether that's Dan Brunskill, Tom Compton.
Right.
Like, that's the swing multiple.
That's the swing.
Mm-hmm. And so is Matt Hennessy going to be that? Because he started left guard and center a lot of games.
Possibly.
He's healthy now.
Look, I'm all for the camp battle in the trenches. You talking about these battles. I'm happy to watch the defensive line go against the offensive line all day, every practice. I want to see who's winning one-on-ones. I want to see who can beat double teams. I'm here for that.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun. So, okay, who starts week one left guard, in your opinion? I don't think Ben Bartsch stays on NFI, but he's kind of creating a window.
I think Ben
Bartsch, opening.
Correct. So I think it's going to come down to the rookie. I would not be surprised if the rookie starts Connor Colby.
Gosh,
I'm really rooting for him, yo. Yeah, because I really felt like a seventh round draft pick. I think he was going to, I think he's the steal of the draft. I felt like they got a third, fourth round guy in the seventh round.
Man, that'd be huge. Because then you'd have Dominique Pooney.
And it's just one position. And look what Pooney did his rookie year, and he was a third round pick. So like, All you need at guard, John, what do you need at guard? Like, what do you got to be able to do very well at the guard position?
So, two things, really three things. In the Shanahan scheme, you got to do the outside zone. So, the quick lateral movement, every person the 49ers have in uniform, that is a prerequisite. They all have that, so check mark. Pass protection, two things. Number one is, can you anchor? Mm-hmm. Do you get pushed back against... you know, these bull rushers. This is where everybody loves Nick Zakel. He had one of the highest pass, you know, protection. Like, he anchors very well. That is where he is probably the best out of all of these guys, is that anchor ability. Now, the number three thing is going against the change of direction. Mm-hmm. Those stunts, spin moves, swim moves, press out, come inside. So you do that quick jab step to the left, and you got to redirect to the right. That quick, sudden change. That is those three things. In this scheme, if you can do that, you're going to have success.
I feel like he can. The question is, can he do it well consistently? And if there's an injury to where he can get an opportunity to get those reps in, I think Connor Colby is going to be. I tell you what, I think Connor Colby will be a better left guard than Aaron Banks was.
That's a low bar. Well, Aaron Banks healthy versus what we saw of Aaron Banks are two different things.
Yeah,
he had one year where he's healthy.
I know
healthy,
it's a low
bar, good.
But I know Aaron Banks was the starter, so that's why I said him. I think Connor Colby would supersede what Aaron Banks did. And if we
look at Dan Case. It says, John, the main thing our guards have to do is sense when the center is just going to stand around for a play and then go fill that gap.
Man, Jake Brendel taking shots, strays. Brendel catching strays.
Oh,
he's right,
man.
Though.
Jeez, dude. Anyway, yeah, we'll have to see. Kind of. Oh,
I think Jake Brendel has a better year too. I just do.
Yeah.
I think Jake Brendel has a better season.
How many guys get better at 32?
I think Jake Brendel.
I hope so. I hope so.
Like, I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna get better. I mean, not maybe, definitely mentally. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, now he's seen football for a minute. I think at this point, I think he gets better. Plus, it's about his surroundings too. Like, does he trust these guys? I don't know. I think Brendel gets better though. What up, Johnny? Yeah.
Johnny Dale. The man. He's stud, dude. Go check out Johnny Dale's Football Academy. Learn some football. It's where your podcasters go to learn football. He says the athletic measurables for Colby is 100%, which is needed for a Shanahan guard. You have to remember with Colby, that dude's one of the few guys that started as a freshman in Iowa, Kirk Ferentz, which is as close to a Shanahan
and they
team.
Play Texas outside zone, Iowa. Baby. And yeah. One of my favorite running backs in this draft was Caleb Johnson. And y'all watch – keep an eye on him with the Steelers. Just watch. Yeah. Guarantee you he's going to be a problem. Outside zone. I love it. I think he's going to get the opportunity. The NFI is creating a window for him. He just has to take advantage of the opportunities that he gets.
Oh, man, I'm pumped. Now, again, this show was recorded. We are live right now, but before the press conference. But the press conference is supposed to start in about 15 minutes. Oh, so we are going to wrap it up here so Wayne can go get all of his coverage stuff done. Wayne, we appreciate your time. All you do, we're going to be back throughout this season on Tuesday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Wayne, take us out, my friend.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. We back.